It's a rainy Thursday, the 23rd of October, and I'm Tonata Kadila with your 5 p.m. news. Following the release of its post-election report titled Fraying Dominance, Fragmented Opposition Inside the Number of the 2024 Election, the Institute for Public Policy Research says local politics are becoming more competitive. The study found that urban areas have turned into battlegrounds, the South leaning toward the opposition, and cracks are starting to show in the ruling party's base in the North. We spoke to IPPR Research Associate Max Wieland for more.
Well, elections are the time when Namibians get to have their say in how our country is run, right? And basically what happens is if people are happy, there's one result. If they're unhappy, there's another result. And we thought it was really important just to see at a fairly small level, at the level of each constituency, how have things been shifting over the last 10 years? Because that's our voices that are being represented there. And so we took a really close look at the trends over the last couple of elections, how SWAPO did, but also how the various opposition parties did.
With the 2025 Mental Health Bill, which is aimed at improving access to services and banning workplace discrimination, now before Parliament, we spoke to Labour analyst Sidwell Scholes, who says while the bill is a move in the right direction, it raises complex questions about how employers can balance inclusion with maintaining a safe and fair work environment.
The difficulty we face is the type of mental illness that the individual would have, because the employer needs to consider whether that person might be a threat to other individuals should they be in a stressful situation. We also cannot treat them specifically different or special on account of deliverables, because that might cause other labor unrest. This is just one of the major red flags that I'm currently identifying. When an employee accepts an offer of employment, they guarantee to the employer that they are able and that they are in a position to deliver the work on the required standard. So if they fall short of the standard, will we excuse them always? So these are the kind of things that we need to still hash out as far as the bill is concerned, and we need to also incorporate this provision into the Labour Act, because that is essentially the overarching piece of legislation that governs the employment relationship.
To South Africa now, where Minister of Agriculture John Steenhuisen has welcomed the decision by Zimbabwean authorities to lift the ban on the importation of maize and other grains. The minister has described the move as a step towards strengthening regional food security and economic cooperation. The department's spokesperson, Jolene van Wyk.
By allowing the free flow of maize, especially white maize, that our people on the continent consume as a staple food, we are sending a clear signal of confidence to our agribusinesses and exporters, encouraging the investment and expanded production that benefits all in the Southern African Development Community member states.
International medical charity Doctors Without Borders has sounded an alarm over the increasing number of cholera cases in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The charity has recorded more than 58,000 suspected cases in the past 9 months.
Cholera has spread to 20 of the DRC's 26 provinces and claimed 1,700 lives since the beginning of this year. They've attributed the rapid spread to floods, conflicts, and displacement. Many of the displaced people in the country's east are living in crowded shelters with poor sanitation, and most health facilities there have been destroyed or looted in the conflict between government forces and the M23 rebels. Officials at Doctors Without Borders have launched an urgent appeal for funding to stop the disease from claiming more lives. Chris Ochamringa, Kinshasa.
And the United Nations has launched the Sevilla Forum on Debt, which will promote fairer lending, faster restructuring, and long-term reform of the post-war financial system. About 3.4 billion people live in countries that spend more on servicing debt than on health or education. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says more than 60 developing countries now spend at least 10% of government revenue on interest payments.
Borrowing should work for, not against, developing countries. But countries are getting crushed. Developing countries spend $1.4 trillion on annual debt service. Countries should never have to choose between servicing their debt or serving their people.
Find all these stories and much more on our website, futuremedianews.com.na. Future Media News, independent, accurate, and on time.